thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally, and I'm your host tonight. Rand Will are out. You know, they're having issues, but we want issues. But, you know, I'm going to hold it down for the team. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and Google Play. We are now on Google Play, so make sure you search us out. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. We're going to have a great show tonight. We got many guests, like a bunch of guests who basically coming out to help out your boy Wally. So I really appreciate it. But Will T's not here, and Will T would usually say this. Let's get into our tradition, the pregame. Here are our topics. I'll talk about the Washington Redskins winning their season opener against the Arizona Cardinals, 24-6. Lex Diamonds from Heritage Sports Radio Network will join me at 8:20. We'll make our week 2 NFL picks. Rand will, you know, they'll text me their picks, so we'll have their picks. So don't worry about it, folks. At 8:30, I'll talk fantasy football with Hakeem Wong and Ryan Whitfield from Football Garbage Time Podcast. This will be their first time on the show. At 8:40, I'll talk about the WNBA Finals, the Washington Mystics Game 3 must-win game. Finally, at 8:50, host of Quarterly Report Podcast, Armand Lee will join the show to talk about Sean Porter defeating Danny Garcia for the WBC welterweight title that happened Saturday night. But first, right now, we have Lex Diamond from Heritage Sports Radio Network on the line. What's good, Lex?
Hey, how you doing?
Everything is gravy, man. First, I don't want you to tell me about, we always talk about power. Don't tell me about power because I haven't caught it yet.
You haven't watched.
Believe me, bro, I haven't. Football has taken over my life, and then, you know, things happen, but I'm watching it tonight. I'm definitely watching it tonight.
Wait a minute. It's Tuesday, and bruh, you expect me not to mention anything about how
don't, Lex,
happened
don't,
2 nights ago?
Lex, don't do it to me, Lex. Just don't do it. I know. All right, put it this way, Lex. I know that Angela gets shot because I saw the spoiler like a week in advance. I saw that. But I don't want to know the storyline. I don't know. I don't want to know what happened to that point. I know she got shot.
Listen, I know that football started on Sunday, but I mean, the true power watches midnight when it comes on fans.
Uh-huh.
So, no excuse for you to blame it on football. Do you know how many football games I watched on Sunday? And I had seen power at least 2 or 3 times and watched pregame shows and got my fantasy lineup straight. I'm not buying.
Lex, I mean, hey, I know, Lex, I'm disappointed. But I'm just telling you, man, just don't ruin it for me. This is very important to me. I gotta watch it. I know this, Lex.
Hey, listen, I'm not here to talk about power as great as the episode was. And I love the characters on there, but mm-hmm. I'm happy about the powerful characters that wear the burgundy and gold. And they showed us that we don't have to play preseason games.
Oh, I know.
We are legitimately a powerful and a very good football team. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm sorry. I'm drinking that Kool-Aid.
Lex, we're both. This is what I like about this show. I know my boy Ray and my boy Will. I mean, my boys Ray and Will T aren't here. They're not Redskin fans. We are. So I know I'm drinking the Kool-Aid too. I'm all in the hype. Like what I saw Sunday, and we'll talk about that right now. Sunday in the Redskins season opener, they defeated the Arizona Cardinals 24-6. What were your thoughts of that game?
Well, I'm gonna tell you this, man. I'm gonna be straight up. I'm gonna be honest with you. When they picked up Adrian Peterson a few weeks ago, I was ecstatic because the Adrian Peterson that I've seen the last 2-3 years still was better than the running backs we had on our roster.
Agreed.
So I was excited. And when he played in that third preseason game and you see the explosion, I was very excited. I said, I've seen enough. I didn't want to see any more. Wait till week 1. Let's show Arizona. Pull him out then. And, man, they pulled him out, and he was unstoppable. And that's what I kind of – for me, the fact that Washington was more physical than Arizona on both sides of the ball, for me, that was enough to say, this is a different team.
And like you mentioned, AP had a great game. AP had about, I want to say like 90, he had 96 yards. Yeah, about 96 yards. Had a touchdown. Also had 2 catches for 70 yards. I'm with you. I mean, And this is funny because I remember before AP was even a thought, like I stated that the Redskins should at least try out Adrian Peterson. Once Geis went down, I was like, they should try him out because still with, like you said, what we saw with Adrian Peterson the last two seasons was still better than what the Redskins had in their depth chart or on their roster. So, like, bringing him to the fold, knowing that he's a motivated individual, knowing that he's a guy that you can't really doubt. This is my thing about sports and anything. You can't doubt greatness. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't doubt a guy who personified with greatness, a guy who, when people said it was over for him like a couple years ago when he blew his knee out, and then the following year he came back with 2,000 yards. You can't doubt a guy like that. So, and at the end of the day, you're getting a guy with drive, and you're putting that on a line. Now he's motivated because you have people like Shannon Sharp, Chris Carter saying this dude is garbage, this dude is done. That motivates greatness, man. You see that with players in other sports like Michael Jordan, basketball, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Kobe Bryant. When you doubt individuals who are very competitive, you get this type of output.
And I tell you, man, watching him after that fumble, just watching the cameras on him, you could see that it was burning him up.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to get back out there and get another shot at it. It was killing him.
Yeah.
And that's the competitive fire that Washington has been missing. And the fact that she got a veteran, competent quarterback to run the offense, it looked so much better.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily statistically, because I think statistically they're very similar. But there are certain things about Alex Smith, you know, that just kind of oozes confidence. And you can kind of see the swagger. And it seems his teammates are embracing him, and they do kind of adore him more than Cousins.
The other quarterback.
More of the guys that nobody likes.
So it gets to my second question. From what you saw Sunday, do you feel like the Skins made the right decision in terms of their quarterback?
Well, I mean, I think it's just one game, mm-hmm. but I think we don't miss anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're not missing anything losing Kirk Cousins and now picking up Alex Smith. We didn't lose anything, if that makes any sense.
No, it makes sense. I get your point.
It wasn't a downgrade.
See, I think that it definitely wasn't a downgrade. I think you saw things with Alex Smith that you didn't see with Kirk Cousins. There's things that Kirk Cousins does better than Alex Smith, but like you saw that Alex Smith, when it came to reading a defense, you know, changing the play up when you saw a different defensive look, or a guy that, like, to lack of a better term, is a playmaker. The guy, you know, was in the pocket, scrambled right, found Chris Thompson a couple of times, found Vernon Davis. He's a guy that made plays with his feet, and you didn't see that a lot with Kirk Cousins. Now, even a simple thing like a quarterback sneak. When did you ever see Kirk Cousins run a quarterback sneak? You know, it's fourth and one. Jay Gruden runs a quarterback sneak with Alex Smith, and they get it. Not to say that Kirk wasn't willing to do it. I'm just saying you didn't see that with Kirk Cousins. You saw that with Alex Smith. I just think there are certain things that Alex Smith brings to the table, and I think it's more the intangibles, more than anything, that you see that with Alex Smith.
Yeah, and I think with Kirk, you were surprised when he ran the read option and he actually ran the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You were surprised. But in this case, you have to – you know, you have to beware of Alex Smith's running ability, because he can keep the football and take it off and run fearlessly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe not reckless like a guy like RG3 or Lamar Jackson, but somebody that is capable of getting you six to 10 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much all you need. You just want to be able to kind of keep the defense on their toes. And Washington did a tremendous job. And to be honest with you, I mean, we knew coming into the season with Alex Smith he was going to go to his back, his tight end, and that's exactly what he did. And Chris Thompson is back healthy.
Yeah.
And I tell you, he is going to have an all-pro year if he can stay healthy. And same goes for Mr. Reed.
You know, Jordan Reed. I don't want you to say that name. That Jay Reed looked real good.
If he can stay healthy, he'll have an all-pro year as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the two of those guys will be unstoppable. Because think about it. They didn't use Crowder.
Mm-hmm.
They never really used the secret weapons.
Yeah.
And they didn't even really – they just maybe attempted one time Richardson on the deep post.
And he had it. Mm-hmm.
they didn't really use all of their offensive weapons, and they dominated the game because they were capable of running the football and because that defense had to step up, had to respect AP.
Mm-hmm.
And that just gave Washington a new element, and the offensive line did a tremendous job across, you know, blocking for both for the running game and the passing game.
Alex Smith's stat line, he had 21 completions out of 30 attempts, had 255 yards, two touchdown passes, one to Jordan Reed and one to Chris Thompson. Yeah, I agree. I think when you saw a healthy Chris Thompson, you saw a healthy Jordan Reed, it just shows you that the potential this offense can have when you have those two on the lineup. Like, what can you do within the middle of the field with those two individuals? And even you saw the explosion on Chris Thompson. I was concerned because you heard reports that Chris Thompson, you know, he wasn't sure if he didn't trust his legs enough coming off that injury. But that burst, that acceleration, it was there. And Jordan Reed, look, and I know you've seen Jordan, but he looks bigger, man. Like, he looks strong and bigger.
And I'm going to tell you, if he can play like he did on Sunday, you got to think about it. This is the first opportunity for the two of them to kind of work together, mm-hmm. you know, in the game. And they did look pretty good. I'm expecting even more. You know, Alex Smith likes to throw to his tight end.
Yeah, exactly.
And so Reed, if he stays healthy, I think he's going to be a dominant factor in Washington's success this year. Along with AP. I mean, AP looks unbelievable. And I tell you, if the coach, Gruden, was a one-minded coach,
he
probably would have ran AP like 35 times or 40 times in the game.
He looked, you know what I mean? Yeah, he did. But it looked like he had more of a Joe Gibbs swag to him in this game. You know what I mean? He ran Chris Thompson. He ran AP. He ran Rob. We saw Slim Rob. Run a little bit. Jay kind of reminded me of Joe a little bit.
Hey, he was Joe Gibbs-like.
Yeah,
like. Not 100% Joe Gibbs.
And Joe Gibbs-like.
Something I saw with AP. AP has historically been able to kind of just run rampant and run pretty much how he reads it.
Yeah.
I think if AP kind of settled down a little bit and just kind of follow his blocker.
Oh, man, I'm with you.
He missed some opportunities.
Yeah, I'm with you. I agree. I think he missed some holes that he could have had. If he had took the right hole, he could have had easily about 150. Easily 150.
Absolutely. They ran that student body left,
mm-hmm.
You know, that trap Washington is known for.
Yeah.
That Bill Gibbs made, you know, known to everybody around the world with John Riggins. They mm-hmm. ran that too much time, and AT, instead of just following the guard, open up,
mm-hmm.
he kind of do what he does, and that's kind of freelance,
mm-hmm.
and he went the opposite way. But once he learns how to run behind guys that are opening up super holes and just kind of follow the blockers.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be even better than what we've seen
Agreed.
Thus far.
Agreed.
The first game out the box, man, the Redskins offense looked tremendous.
No, I agree. You're listening to the Urban Sports Team right now. We have Lex Diamonds from Heritage Sports Radio Network on the line. You mentioned the defense. The Redskins defense played well. Who stood out to you?
I'm going to tell you, man, that defensive line, the Alabama Wall, as they're calling them, they look pretty good.
Yeah.
At first, game started, I thought they were about to have problems with Johnson.
Yeah, I know. It looked
like
bad.
Running back woes again.
Uh-huh.
But at some point, there was some adjustments made, and all of a sudden, the defense just took him out of the contest, and they kind of forced them to go with Sam Bradford. I heard one radio guy call him Sam Bradford.
Man, I know they need my man Sam Malone. He just played a great defensive team. But go ahead, continue.
But Sam Bradford, I think, I'm still trying to figure out how this guy keeps getting the job. But he looked terrible out there.
Yeah, he did.
And Washington, you can contribute Washington for that. And, you know, Josh and all those guys, they did a tremendous job. And I would give the MVP, honestly, man, that front seven, they played some football on Sunday.
So that would be like, so the front seven for you would be the MVP for the of the game?
I would give the front seven credit, man, because they put a lot of pressure on Arizona and they stopped the run.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that's where it starts. If you can stop the star player on that team,
mm-hmm.
It did. They stopped him, kept him from making big plays. And even the linebackers, I saw Anderson made a play. You
I
know,
need a sack. I know. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's unusual. It was very very impressed with the production of the defense, the front seven.
All right, so I mean, pose this question on our Facebook page. You know, who was the KD real MVP of the game? You know what I mean? Who was the real MVP? My man George said those five big O-line guys on the offensive line were the real MVPs because there were dominance is how you're run for, like, that's how you run for, 182 yards and hold the ball for 38 minutes.
I'm going to tell you, I tip my hat to the offensive line, but yeah. I think the real MVP was Coach Gruden.
I agree. That's a good one.
Yeah, man, for a change, he kind of, you know, he didn't get enamored with the passing game, and he trusted his running backs to make plays. He trusted Alex Smith to even run for the first down, you know, with the quarterback sneak and other opportunities he allowed him to run. Did a great job of just mixing up the offense. It's something, you know, in the past has been, I think, one of his Achilles heels because he focuses so much on the pass. His offense is normally 70-30, and that's 70% passing and 30% running. I think on Sunday we saw a team that was closer to 55-45, which is something, you know, you have to be excited if you're a Redskins fan.
No, I totally agree. So Lex, real quick, before we get to break, the Redskins have the Colts next. What do you think? What do the Redskins need to do next? What do the Redskins need to do to win that game?
Well, I think one of the things is their defense is going to have to really do their assignment. I didn't mention the secondary in this past game.
Yeah, sure. Dunbar.
I don't think they were really challenged, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Because Larry Fitzgerald, you know, as good as he is, and he's definitely a Hall of Famer, he didn't really have a quarterback to really get him the football. So I think this week with Andrew Luck coming to town, Hilton and Mr. Grant, the former Redskins.
Oh, God. Jay Gruden's son? That's Jay Gruden's son.
It's going to be very interesting with the secondary. I think Josh is going to earn his money this week. We hope the defensive line will put some pressure up front and get us some sacks and force Andrew Luck into some bad plays. But if the offense continues to play like they did on Sunday, you know, it's going to put a lot of pressure on Indianapolis to keep up.
See, I agree with you. I think that, to be honest with you, I think that Andrew Luck's gonna have the same problem that Sam Bradford had. Just the lack of weapons, to be honest with you. T.Y. Hilton's the only, you know, outside threat. If you look at, you know, who's gonna threaten who you would fear. Same thing with the Cardinals. To be honest with you, the Cardinals had more weapons because they had David Johnson and Larry Fitzgerald. But Larry Fitzgerald didn't have help on the other side of the other side. Their wide receivers are relatively green. If you look on this side, on the flip side, with the Colts, T.Y. Hilton, what running back you have to worry about? No running back. The tight end isn't scary. So when you look at this situation, who the Redskins are playing, they're playing a better quarterback than Andrew Luck. I totally agree. But I don't think the weapons of Andrew Luck's going to help him out in this game with the Washington Redskins.
Well, I mean, like you said, Andrew Luck is coming back from injury, you know, literally the entire season, you know, so he's still trying to get his legs back and trying to get confidence back. And it'll be interesting. I think Washington needs to start early, really get up on these guys, like, immediately and put pressure on him and take his confidence away from him because, you know, being away from football for a whole year, in your mind, people aren't talking about how great you are when you came in supposedly to be the next Peyton Manning and you literally had a whole year off and now people aren't talking about you. You're not in the conversation as the top quarterback any longer. So you kind of have to build your credibility again. And I think that's going to put pressure on Andrew Luck. And you can kind of see he was gleeful. You know, they lost the game. He was gleeful with his performance. It's just, I guess it's being back out there with the guys.
Yeah.
I just think, you know, with us, the success we had on the road, first game, got the monkey off our backs.
Agreed.
I think now you have to come home and show your fans that this is a real deal. We are a legitimate team. We can actually compete for that NFC East crown this year.
Yeah, I totally agree. So real quick, Lex, give me a prediction of the game.
I'm going to go with Washington. If they continue to play like they did on Sunday, I think with the bounce, I think they're capable of winning another game. You remember last week I called a blowout over Arizona.
Sure did.
And I'm going to go this week. I'm going to give Washington a little bit more points. I'm going to go with 27.
Okay.
To 16.
27.
That's going to be my score.
All right.
And a lot of that, it depends on the weather. The weather could be play a major factor this week. So if Washington is able to run the football, because honestly, they're going to have to run the football, especially if this Hurricane Florence is coming to town.
Oh, good point.
Many fans.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important that Washington run the football and protect the football. And like you said, Indianapolis, they don't have a running game.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to put more pressure on Andrew Luck. And if the field is wet and sloppy, as many are anticipating, it could be a recipe for disaster for Andrew Luck and the Colts.
Well, Lex, man, thanks for coming on. And we expect to have you on next week.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate it, man. And listen,
all right.
You will be so surprised when you see what happens on Power.
All right.
When you decide.
Watching. Oh, I'm watching after the show. That's what I'm going to do anyway. I'm watching right after the show.
Cool beans.
All right, Lex. Thanks again.
Talk to you later.
I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, man.
No problem. Again, that is Lex Diamonds from Heritage Sports Radio Network. We're approaching. Well, we are. We need to hit the break now. So when we get back from break, I'm going to list our week two NFL picks. You're listening to the Urban Sports Saint for ages. You dig? Deuces.
Big Pippin', baby. I'm breathing. I'm a pimpin' every sense in the word, mama. Better trust and believe him. In the cup where I keep him. Till I need the world, till I need to beat it up. Then it's BB, then I'm picking them up. Then I play with it quick in the truck. Many chicks wanna put jigger fists and cuffs. Divorce him and split his bucks. Just because you got good sex, I'ma break bread so you could be living it up. I pass with nothing, y'all be frontin'. Me give my heart to a woman. Not for nothing, never happen. I'll be forever mackin'. Hard codes and assassins. I got no passion, I got no patience. And I hate waiting. Mommy, get your ass in here, let's ride. Check 'em out now. Ride. Let's ride. Check 'em out now. We doing big pimpin', we spendin' cheese. Check 'em out now. Big pimpin' on BLAD. We doing big pimpin' up in NYC. It's just that jigga man, Pimp C and B-U-M-B. Yo, yo, yo.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally, and I'm your host today. Again, like I mentioned before, Will T and Ray are out, but hopefully they'll be back next week. Check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. It's a great show. Starting now, over last week, we started our competition, our weekly NFL Pick'em Challenge. Last week, I went 10-5-1. I'm great. I'm really good. I'm really good. Ray went 7-8-1. Poor Ray. And Will T went 9-6-1. Excuse me. From the Football Garbage Time crew, Scott King went 7-8-1. Joanne went 6-9-1. Hakun Wong went 9-6-1. Ryan went 8-7-1. And also, listening to the show, my man George went, and one of our main listeners, George went 6-9-1. So that means that out of everybody I just listed, guess who was first place? That was me. So it's time for our week two NFL picks. Ray and Will, they text me their picks. So I'm going to list mine off and I'm going to read theirs later. I'm going to read theirs after I'm done. So week two games, Ravens versus the Bengals. I'm picking the Bengals. Panthers versus the Falcons. I'm picking the Falcons. Excuse me. No, I'll take that back. I'm picking the Panthers. Colts versus the Redskins. Obviously, I'm picking the Redskins. Texans versus the Titans. I'm picking the Texans. Eagles versus the Buccaneers. Picking the Bucks in the upset. Chiefs versus the Steelers, I am picking the Steelers. Dolphins versus the Jets, I'm picking the Jets. Chargers versus the Bills, I'm picking the Chargers. Vikings versus the Packers, I'm picking the Vikings. Browns versus the Saints, I'm picking the Saints. Lions versus the Niners, I'm picking the Niners. Cardinals versus the Rams, I'm picking the Rams. Patriots versus the Jaguars, I'm picking the Jaguars. Raiders versus the Broncos, I'm picking the Broncos. Giants versus the Cowboys, I'm picking the Giants. I'm never picking the Cowboys. Seahawks versus the Bears, I'm going to take the Seahawks. Ray picked Atlanta, the Chargers, the Vikings, the Texans, the Saints, the Dolphins, the Chiefs, the Buccaneers, the Skins, the Rams, the Niners, the Raiders, the Patriots, the Giants, the Bears, and also, he just texted this to me, the Ravens. Will picked the Ravens, the Skins, the Panthers, the Vikings, the Chargers, the Texans, the Chiefs, the Jets, the Eagles, the Saints, the Rams, the Niners, the Jaguars, the Broncos, the Giants, and the Bears. This is going to be a good one. This is going to be a good one. So hopefully, you know, Will T and Ray can catch back up. I doubt they will because I'm great. You know, I picked the Redskins. I picked the Redskins to go to the Super Bowl, and the Chargers. The Chargers are letting me down. But I picked the Redskins to go to the Super Bowl. So I'm looking okay. I'm looking okay. But it's time for a break. When we get back from break, I mentioned the Football Garbage Time podcast to check them out. Actually, they'll be joining the show after the break to talk fantasy football. You listen to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces. Touch them other hips, hands them down for my hips. What? Touch them other hips, hands them down for my hips. What? Touch them other hips, hands them down for my hips. I die for my hips. Touch them other hips. What? Touch them other hips, hands them down for my hips. What? Touch them other hips, hands them down for my hips. What? Touch them other hips, I ride for my hips. I die for my hips. Touch them other hips. Man, I'm down with no limit. I ride for the cause. I'm the soldier on the take with the big, big dogs. And if anybody messes with Snoop Doggy Dog, I'm a dog. Put his name on the wall, and the everywhere wall. I go, I got Mr. Magic Jeff, yeah. Because I know that boy don't care. Yeah. He'll have that red stuff pouring out your hair. Bless any given time, bless any anywhere. Yeah. Make him bleed is the motto that I live by. If you mess with me, it's a must you die. Them haters might run, but them haters can't hide. It's like shooting yourself. It's a suicide. Exhale, got to be hitting hard like bird boys. Burning, oh yeah, know I'm as big hurt. Just like Soulja Slim, he'll put you in the dirt and have your picture on front of a t-shirt. And when I make moves, I got 100 soldiers with me, just in case the haters out there trying to hit me. All my players is down to squeeze the trigger. That's why I'm down for my no limit killer. Touch the mother hips, hands them down for my hips. What? Touch the mother hips, hands them down for my hips. What? Touch the mother hips, I ride for my hips. I die for my hips. Touch the mother hips. What? Touch the mother hips, hands them down for my hips. What? But you ain't heard, boy, I ride with my nines. I die with my nines. Just drive by my 45 because I'm down with my nines. Snoop Dogg and Boss Aline. Don't shoot now, victim. Just call me when you need me. Leave me. I never bite the hand that feed me. Just point the clowns out and I leave them all in the street, please. Boy, you messing with a grown man. Have it and wag you in your house and then buried you on your own land. See, the cops ain't scared to come and get me. But I don't blame them because they know I got a bunch of dog fingers with me. Looking for trouble starting it. I'm riding solo when I'm busting and getting rid of your clique. You boys ain't about beef, man. But you messing with brothers that'll definitely get you eternal sleep. But if you didn't get the picture, boy, I ride with my shh. Touch the mother hips, lay some down for my hips. What? Touch the mother hips, lay some down for my hips. What? Touch the mother hips, I ride for my hips. I die for my hips. Touch the mother hips. What? Touch the mother hips, lay some down for my hips. What? Touch the mother hips, lay some down for my hips.
What hit us? Them hit us? Yeah, dog, you with it. No touch them, let's get em. Do them, I did em. We getting nutty in this mother.
What?
I got my buddy in this mother.
What?
Leave a sucker bloody in this mother.
What?
We in the cutty mother. You done too much, you got it coming, mother.
Watch out.
Some of these suckers is chickens too.
Chickens
and
too.
Some of these suckers look just like you.
Well,
where I'm from, we like to ride on bulls. We do it from the shoulders, I do it from the toes.
From the toes.
I do my dirt off on my lonely. see murder and magic. Hell yeah, they're my no limit homies. So when the leg gets thick and foggy, and you suckers wanna act like y'all wanna get with Snoop Dogg, let me let you haters know. Bump what you're going through and bump what you stand for.
Touch the money, hands down, my what? Touch the money, hands down, for my what? Touch the money,
you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally, Will T, Ray. They're out, you know. And I don't know why they left me by myself. But I have friends, though. From the Football Garbage Time podcast. These are great guys. I have Ryan Whitfield and Hakun Wong. These individuals are in our pick. We have a pick'em league going on. And also in the Fantasy Football League. What's going on, Football Garbage Time?
Woo! Hey, guys. It's awesome that we're finally get to crash your show. This is great.
I know. It's about darn time. This should have been happening, to be honest with you. We should have did this a long time ago. Like a long time ago.
I know, seriously.
Yeah.
It's been like 4 years.
I know.
And we finally managed to crash your show.
We've been waiting on this. We did it, Ryan.
We're in the big time now. We're in the urban sports scene. We're the big time now.
We made it.
Oh, my God. You guys are hilarious.
Hey, guys, I bring breaking news. Martavis Bryant signed with the Raiders. It's going to change everything.
He signed with... Are you serious? Did this really just happen?
I'm serious.
Oh, wow.
John Gruden's got a good handle on the player personnel decision.
Oh, no, right? Yeah, he yeah. sure does. I'm sure he watched Sunday night. He watched Sunday night's game and was like, yeah, I made the right decision.
Yep, that's right. Hey, who needs Khalil Mack when you got Martavis Bryant?
I know, right? That's what I'm saying. Unbelievable. Who needs a pass rush? Who needs a guy who can dominate one side of the ball by himself? Who needs that kind of guy?
That's right. Let's go old school. Let's just keep running the ball into a wall and see how it gets us there.
Exactly. Yeah.
Thank God they paid Derek Carr big money, though.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Very well. I know. Yep. Very well. You know, I mean, like, it's the greatest decision ever. Like, they value Derek Carr over Khalil Mack. Amazing, right? Amazing.
Yes. Yep.
All right.
No, I was just going to say that in a really bizarre turn of events, in case you guys didn't hear, Martavis Bryant actually might be facing a year-long suspension
for
violating the league's substance abuse policy.
Mm-hmm.
John Gruden signed him anyway, so there you go.
Yeah, you know what? John Gruden has a very – you know, he's a funny guy. His time in Tampa, he picked every quarterback in the book, even the bums. So I'm not surprised that he would pick a guy that can be suspended for, like, the whole season. I'm not surprised. He never surprises me.
Yep.
One of the more overrated.
No, nothing surprises me.
Yeah, and one of the more overrated, not to be mean, but one of the more overrated coaches I've ever seen in my life, to be honest with you.
Oh, most definitely. How do you pay this guy $10 million a year and you can't pay for Khalil Mack? What's
exactly.
wrong with you guys? Have
exactly.
you ever watched football before?
Amazing. But so before we get to.
No. Gruden told us all last night that Khalil Mack just didn't want to play for the Raiders.
I know, right?
It wasn't the money thing. He actually just didn't want to play for the Raiders at all.
Oh,
that's a spin job.
Yeah.
Nice job.
Let the game pass you by sitting in the booth for 10 years.
I know.
You come back and get all this money to ruin the franchise.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Yes. Well done, John Gruden. Well done.
Yeah, Chucky's funny. Chucky's a very funny guy.
Chucky.
He's
yes,
very funny.
Chucky.
Chucky's a very funny guy. So before we get to fantasy football, tell our listeners about your podcast and your website.
Oh, well, we are Football Garbage Time. We got a whole lot of news and nonsense around the NFL. You guys have been an integral part of that. So everybody, you know, hey, if Wally wants to be part of our thing, then we are obviously worth listening to and worth checking out. We got all sorts of fantasy football news. We got regular NFL news. We got Ryan's basically getting in everybody's face and getting the arguments all over Twitter. So, you know, hey, we got it all.
I know, Ryan, you're hilarious. On fantasy football stuff, you're hilarious, Ryan. I actually thought I was playing you by accident. I don't know why I thought I was playing you. I don't know why.
Yeah, no, I didn't have a good week, so we'll table that discussion. Get back to me next week.
Right. Oh,
typical.
Right. Oh my God! So week one, we're talking fantasy football. So for week one, give me two of your standouts.
All right. So I'll just start real quick, and I'll say this. you know, two standouts, big time, Tyreek Hill.
Oh, yeah,
and I said this on our show just a minute ago. Do you remember? He was a fifth-round pick in 2016 out of West Alabama, D2 school. So, fifth-round pick. He just might give Tom Brady and his status as the biggest skilled NFL draft a run for his money. And maybe I'm overreacting, but, man, he looked amazing. Seven of eight targets, 169 yards, pair of touchdowns, added a 91-yard punt return for a score on the very first touch of the season. He had his first touchdown on a 58-yard receiving variety 7 minutes after the punt, and he got a second TD at the one-yard shovel variety. He does it all. He even rushed twice for 4 yards. Basically, all they need is Tyreek Hill. They don't need anybody else. Patrick Mahomes just needs to get him the ball. They're going to win every game from now on just because of that. You know, and at the end of the day, you know, first thing to think about is he's involved in all aspects of the game. So that is amazing. That's what he needs to do last year. I love to see that this year. He is going to be a weapon. Second, this was against the Chargers, who most thought was a top five defense in the NFL. Losers looks great. Results looks great. Outside looks a mess. Sky's the limit. I know Ryan agrees with me because we just talked about Tyreek Hill. If you have shares of him in fantasy football, you are loving life right now. My second pick, Randall Cobb. You know, the rumors, way went from rumors about him being chopped around the league to being the most prolific wide receiver on the field in a Sunday night football game that absolutely devastated me and every Bears fan on the planet. And I'm talking about, you know, let me tell you, Randall Cobb. Wow, 9-10 passes, 142 yards, and a ridiculous game-sealing 75-yard catch and run touchdown with just over 2 minutes to go. I literally passed out on my floor when that happened. I'm like, we can't tackle this guy. What is wrong with us? Does he have a force field on him? Why is no one getting near this guy? Aaron Rodgers, you know, he might have a long-term injury. It's been rumored, but the medical staff told him on Sunday night that the injury was serious, but he could not make it worse by playing on it. So that's what he did, and apparently a gimpy Rodgers is all you need. So it was clear he couldn't plant. He really couldn't go downfield, which means he's going to check down a lot. And if he checks down and he continues to play, that's good news for Cobb. Likes to play out of slot, and he is going to be his top check down option. So I love those two guys.
So, Ryan, give me your two.
Yeah, so first I was going to say, Hakun, I thought you were going to give Dan Bailey as your standout.
Dan Bailey. Okay, guys, I lost my fantasy football game against Ryan because I played Dan Bailey, who's not on a team. I'm going to own it right now, okay? I'm owning it.
How come how that happened?
But no, so my two standouts were down south. I'm sticking right in New Orleans. One guy who I was high on, obviously, Mike Thomas. I think Mike Thomas is easily a top five receiver in the NFL. I was surprised. You know, I know running backs when have you seen any drafts, but Mike Thomas in certain drafts I was getting as my number two pick at the turn, at like 13th or 14th overall, and the guy is an absolute stud. And then number two, there's Alvin Kamara. I said all offseason that everyone was just writing in and penciling in that without Mark Ingram, that it was going to be a benefit. Kamara, my concern was we hadn't seen what he looked like when he was just the one guy in the backfield and that he might actually regress. Well, I'm an idiot because that didn't even come close to happening. He did go, he went the other way and had one of his best games of his NFL career, and he's an absolute stud. So those are my two big winners from week one.
Are you listening to the Urban Sports Scene right now? We have Ryan Whitfield and Hakun Wong from the Football Garbage Time podcast on the line with us. So for week two, give me two good, I take that back. Okay, give me two cats who are bust in week one.
All right. So let me give you the two I'm thinking of. First of all, it's Deshaun Watson. All eyes are on Watson.
He ruined,
you know, returning, coming off the ACL surgery. You know, we thought, is he going to be that guy? Until he blew us away at the beginning of his rookie season last year. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like he's all the way back. Watson, he only completed 17 to 34 passes, 176 yards, one touchdown, one INT. He had 8 carries and 40 additional yards, so that wasn't so bad. Will Fuller wasn't available. I don't think that we can blame the result on just that. Mm-hmm. Watson did spend a lot of time running for his life, so give some credit to the pass defense. Also give some credit to the offensive line for being really crappy. and regardless of that, you know, Watson had significant issues getting anything going. He lost a fumble on a botched read option in the very first play of the game. Didn't really improve much after that. You know, his only touchdown was actually set up by a Patriots muff punt at the end of the game. And his interception was a ridiculous, reckless shot put into double coverage in the end zone. So, you know, all that, just it was rough. It just didn't look good. He didn't look particularly, he just didn't look comfortable back there. Now, the only good news is that he did manage to run the ball moderately effectively. Mm-hmm. And he didn't appear to have any setbacks. But certainly we're hoping for more, from a guy who was being drafted as a consensus top six quarterback this season. The other big bust for me this week is Travis Kelce. What the heck, Kelce? What are you doing out there? This is the polar opposite of Tyreek Hill. Travis Kelce, consensus top three fantasy tight end of the season, maybe top two, managed to catch just one of six targets for a measly 6 yards on the same day that Hill basically went nuts. Part of the problem was the drops. Kelce, uncharacteristically in some ways, dropped some short pass attempts, hit him right in the breadbasket, couldn't figure out how to catch the ball. Part of the problem may be consistency of targets. There are many more mouths to feed with Hill breaking out. Sammy Watkins is in town. Still, I expect a lot more from six targets. That's a healthy share for a tight end. He should have been able to do more. Mahomes looks like the real deal, so who knows? Maybe he'll pick it up. He has some better matchups coming up, but consistency week to week may be a problem. And then an honorable mention to Evan Engram, who doesn't know how to catch the ball as well. He had treated like a hot potato. The only guy who caught balls worse was Kyle Fuller in the fourth quarter of that Packers-Bears game, who basically could have sealed the game with an interception, but decided that he'd rather catch him with his chest. Oh,
you're so angry about that. How come you're real angry about that one, aren't you?
Yeah, could you tell?
Yeah, I can
tell.
A little bit salty.
And then my bonus bad guy, Amari Cooper. What the heck, John Gruden? I hate on you for so many reasons. I have to hate on you for Amari Cooper, too? You can't figure out how to get a target to the guy you're saying was the focal point of your offense? One of three targets for 9 yards?
Terrible.
They know they have a good secondary. You got to find a way to get in the ball. All right, that's it. I'm out with it. That's a bad pick.
So, Ryan, who are your two duds?
Well, that's a tough one to follow up. The only thing more maddening than losing a game over Kyle Fuller dropping a pick 2 weeks ago. Tight end rest. My two losers, one was Duke Johnson. They're just not going to run the ball with him. So if you have any kind of inclement weather, there's no point in starting him. He is just strictly a PPR guy, it looks like, right now.
Okay.
So when I saw the weather report, I have him in about four or five weeks, and I benched him in all four or five. And was pretty happy with that. The other guy, I don't know if you guys are fans of, I think the best show in the history of television is Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And one of my favorite things is that when Mac gets really angry, he's been known to say, I will jam my thumb right through your F and I.
Right.
That's what I will do to Sammy Watkins if I ever see him. I hate Sammy Watkins. I will never draft Sammy Watkins again. I have already put in all my, I'm in 11 weeks. I owned him in 5 weeks. He's already in waiver claims in all 5 weeks. I'm done. I am out on Sammy Watkins. You are a bum. The guy who routinely is good in training camp and mini camp when they're out there in helmets and shorts. The game can do it on the effing field. I hate you, Sammy Watkins. You suck.
Right.
The guy that's here for fantasy, who told me he was going to be better this year, who convinced me to keep him in the keeper league. You guys think too. I'm so angry at Sammy Watkins. I will never, ever, ever own him again. He's on the John Brown list. Untouchable.
Oh, that is hilarious.
Yep.
And I'm a Sammy Watkins guy. I loved him in college. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
That is hilarious. So give me two guys in week two that would be good for the waiver wire. Good waiver wire pickups.
Yeah. So let me tell you, the guy I really like this week, and I know it's a little bit underrated, but Tyrod Taylor. For the first time in about 2 years, the Browns didn't lose. Of course, they also didn't win, but that's okay. They didn't lose. They ended up tying the Steelers. Both sides managed to shank opportunities to win the game. The field goals are like they didn't want to win, but whatever. Perhaps the most notable thing is that Tyrod Taylor was competent. And it likely staved off a replacement by top pick Baker Mayfield for taking over under center. Taylor completed only 15 to 39 passes for 197 yards of a touchdown and an INT. But don't hold that against him. The weather was terrible. Definitely impacted completion percentage. Don't let that put you off. The fact of the matter is he also rushed for a team-high 77 yards and a touchdown on 8 carries. Now, I doubt you can count in 270-plus yards and multiple TDs each week, but it appears to me that Taylor has nice upside of a nice floor from the rush yards, and it's plenty good as a QB2 in a 12-team, a deeper league, or in all two QB leagues. He's worth a pickup right there. And as a bonus, Taylor will get a shot against the Saints defense in week two, which just allowed Ryan Fitzmagic to put up 48 points on him. So, hey, you want Tyrod Taylor the 1 week, you have some issues. Mariota's on the side. He's not doing well. You got someone else you want to replace. Carson Wentz won't get off the button, get on the field. Why not some Tyrod Taylor? Because Ryan Fitzmagic can do it than Tyrod Taylor can. My second pick, DeSean Jackson. Talking about Ryan Fitzmagic, let's talk about his favorite target this past weekend, D-Jack. Jackson managed to grab all 5 receptions for a whopping 146 yards and 2 touchdowns. Unfortunately, he took a little bit of a spill Etienne suffered a little bit of a concussion in the fourth quarter. It's unclear if he's going to clear, so keep an eye on that. If he clears, he's definitely worth putting on your watch list on all 12-team leagues or deeper. And, you know, he's just, as long as Fitzmagic is under center, I don't know what's going to happen when Winston comes back. I think that T-Jax is going to be a significant part of that offense. And one bonus pickup for you, Kenny Golladay. And I know that was already mentioned, probably mentioned a couple times all over the place. He barely makes the requirement as a pickup because he's just over 50% owned. But you know what? The Lions were terrible, and Golladay was the sole bright spot in that dismal performance. He caught 7 of his whopping 12 targets for 114 yards. Now, the Lions were behind for much of the game, so he could be game script dictated as far as targets. But he clearly got Matt Stafford's attention. And Matt Stafford is terrible, but hey, he's going to keep hucking the balls away. He's going to keep catching it. If he averages 8 to 10 yards per game, he could be a monster in 12-team PPR leagues and deeper.
So, Ryan, who are your two waiver wire pickups?
Yeah, so I got two, and I got a deep sleeper honorable mention at number 3.
Cool.
My first guy is a guy that, again, I just got to stop listening to experts because early in basketball season back in June. I'm better than them. Early back in June on basketball on draft, I picked up about 5 or 6 shares of Ted Ginn, who quietly almost had 1,000 yards receiving last year. I then let all the idiots out there and talking heads convince me to go Cameron Meredith, who can't even get on the field now. And Ted Ginn came out and had a monster game again this weekend. So I think when I looked last night, he's owned about 17% of leagues. So if Ted Ginn is available, and he should be in most of your leagues, that's who I'm going after as my number one guy. My number two right now, you got to give me a second to pull it up here. Oh, there we go. It's the Patriot. I should have remembered this. Philip Dorsett. Obviously, Philip Dorsett had his best game in his Patriot uniform in his career as a Patriot player on Sunday. But even more encouraging is that in the third preseason game, which is obviously the most important, I won't be that annoying person who calls it the dress rehearsal, but it's the most important preseason game. Dorsett and Brady in that game, Brady targeted Dorsett 4 times, completed all 4. On Sunday, he targeted him 7 times and completed all 7. So in the last 2 meaningful games with Dorsett, he's 11 for 11 going to him. For a quarterback who's all about trust, that's really important. And Chris Hogan proved again, as he did when Brandon Cooks and Gronkowski were out at one point last year, that when he's the number one wide receiver, he sucks. So go Philip Dorsett. Number 3, and this is a real deep sleeper now. This guy, I just looked it up, is owned in only 1 Yahoo league. Dan Bailey, I would pick him up. He does get picked up by a team.
Man.
He jumps in when you leave. He's available in every single league except for one.
You just wait, man. He's going to kick 6 50-yard field goals in the next game when he gets picked up by some
Shots
random
fired.
CFL team in Canada, and it's going to count.
Shots fired. That's hilarious. How about Coleman from who just got signed for the signed by the Patriots? Would that be a good pickup?
No, I don't like it just because we saw Philip Dorsett last year, who got traded for towards the end of preseason. Took a whole year to get it. I think Coleman, if he can do enough to stick around, could be a viable sleeper type guy next year.
Gotcha.
It's a tough offense to pick up, you know, this late in the season when the playbook's already been installed. So I don't have high hopes for Coleman in that regard.
Okay, so before I let you guys go, tell our listeners again about your podcast and website.
Well, we are Football Garbage Time. Like I said, we have tons of news and nonsense. It's our thing. You come over and waste time with us. I'm just going
to
hit all of our taglines here. Get out of the way.
Yeah,
Ryan has the hot takes. He tends to challenge people on social media. He takes the hard line and all the different things that are coming on. He's our resident Patriots expert, but he knows his football back and forth. He actually does. He's going to be modest, but he does Pro Football Focus.
Oh,
he does Fantasy
awesome.
Pros. He has so many roles now, I can't even keep track. And I'll say that we have weekly NFL picks. We have weekly fantasy football advice. We have weekly DFS advice. We have all sorts of insight regarding the different matchups and previews. So come check us out and check out our podcast. Like I said, if we're good enough for the urban sports scene, we're good enough for you.
Oh, you guys are awesome. You're way better. You're on a whole different level. So you guys are awesome. You guys are awesome. hopefully we get you back on with Ray and Will's here too. Not when it's just me. You know what I mean? You guys are hilarious.
Yeah.
I love your show, and I love your content, too, at the same time. So, again, we're going to keep promoting your stuff and vice versa. This is a family, so it's a family atmosphere. It's a family thing. So, definitely, we're going to try to get you guys back on again this season easily. We can't have this whole long drawn out, you know, break from each other. We gotta be together. Okay.
Yeah. and I want my entrance music, man. Where's our entrance music?
Oh, I'm not the high tech enough, all right?
You let him do it off one time, he comes in, now he's a diva.
I know, right?
Why you want entrance music?
Listen. What is the NWO?
Jeff Bryan is my agent. He's telling me I need entrance music.
What is this, the NWO? What is entrance music? What is this? Are you Shawn Michaels now? All right, thanks guys.
I appreciate you guys, thanks for having us on.
Again, that's the Football Garbage Time podcast, folks. That is Hakun Wong and Ryan Whitfield. Those are great guys. But we were supposed to talk Mystics, but you know what we're gonna do? We're gonna switch up. We're gonna talk boxing after the break. We're gonna talk about Showtime Sean Porter defeating Danny Garcia to win the WBC welterweight championship. I'm going to have a guest. I'm going to have my man. Ooh, so I'm going to have my man Armand Lee, host of the Quarterly Report podcast show, after the break. You listen to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces.
Come on, man. And with the local DBC news, El Cujé with a triumphant comeback. For a solo. But tonight, don't call it a comeback.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally. Ray and Will T are out. They left me. Can't believe these cats left me. They left me, my man. They left me. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and Google Play. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Make sure you rate us and leave us a comment. Right now, we have host of the Quarterly Report podcast, Armand Lee Online. A new guest is now part of the USS family. What's going on?
Hey, man. Wow, thanks for having me on. I'm excited to be on the show for the first time on the Urban Sports Scene.
I wanted to get you on our show because I know you know boxing. We connected on Twitter. We talked boxing. And I can tell you're such an intelligent boxing fan.
Hey, man. I appreciate it, man. You know, I used to do a little bit of something when I was a younger guy. But, you know, the sweet science for me, like, I'm an NBA fan, number one, through and through. It's always going to be that way. But boxing, like, easily is my second favorite sport. So, you know, despite all the ebbs and flows of the sport, it's tough sometimes being a boxing fan because we all know all the fights that should happen, and very rarely do we actually get them. But I love the sport of boxing, and when I see you tweet and talk about it, man, anytime anyone wants to talk boxing, man, I got a warm spot in my heart for that.
Before we talk about Sean Porter and Danny Garcia, can you tell our listeners about your podcast?
Yeah, man. You know, so like you, Wally, I'm from the area, man. I'm from Richmond originally, but been in D.C., covered D.C. For over a decade at Comcast Sports and CSN, now NBC Universal. So, you know, anybody who loves sports in this area, you know, man, Urban Sports Scene, you know, specifically, right? Oftentimes, there's nothing for us. You know what I'm saying? Like, we there's no one to talk to us. And, you know, you listen to the radio stations, you watch it on television, and, you know, it's cool to get sports, but also wrap it around everything else. And with the Quarterly Report podcast, man, you know, we talk basketball all the time. We talk boxing, we talk football, but we also get hip-hop music, hip-hop culture, we get television stuff, right? And we do it in a way that we deliver with our own style. You know what I mean? Like, every time you turn around, we are moving culture. You know what I'm saying? And that's not a racial thing. That's, you know, just people in the culture. We move it. We make things popular. And unfortunately, there's so much in the way that sports are covered in this area that it's almost like they turn their back to us, right? So the Quarterly Report podcast, much like the Urban Sports Scene podcast, man, we're making sports the way you like it, right? The way you talk to your partners about sports, the way you talk to your cousin or at the gym or at the barbershop, wherever, but also with our own flavor, man. So, you know, it's a completely different podcast, but I love for you all to check it out, man. And we're on Apple, we're on iTunes, Google Play, like you just said, Spotify, Stitcher, the whole nine. Check me out, the Quarterly Report podcast, man.
it just seems like, it's funny because it just seems like in this area, like we don't have a voice. I totally agree with you. We don't have a voice. It's because like when you look at, say, 106.7 The Fan, Team 980, like there's no personality that represents our voice. Now, you do have athletes, black athletes who are now who are personalities, but there's not, they don't have a true personality that's not an athlete that's black, which is really frustrating to me.
Yeah, man, it's like you said, it's annoying because, look, the D.C. area is one of the most diverse areas in this country, period, right? And it shows the Wizards, we all know about, look, man, you don't need to be, you know, have a master's in social science and social studies to understand certain demographics, right? When you look, you look at how popular soccer is, you look at how popular the NBA are, these are fan bases with a diverse background, right? You look at one of, I ain't gonna call no names out, but look at one of the faces, 106.7 The Fan. There's nobody. There's no person of color. Nobody. And then there's no women. You feel me? Like on either station. And you think about it, right? I love the NBA. Wally, I know you love the NBA. We love boxing. If the Wizards are doing well, you can tell they're like literally two people in the entire parent market on radio, on either station, who actually knows what they're talking about when it comes to the NBA. So you have all these guys who love baseball, and it's cool. It's cool to love baseball. I'm not a fan, but though, if you like it, I love it. Whatever, boom. It's cool to like hockey. We all know what happened when the Caps won. But who's there who can give you any type of knowledgeable information about the Wiz? Right? There's just no one there. If you like boxing, you'll hear MMA talk on one guy's show all day. Right? But if it's a big... Vasily Lomachenko fought in D.C. last year, the best fighter in the world, and nobody was covered. It's like, come on, Slim. It's like, Sugar, one of the greatest fighters of all time, was born right down the street. You know what I'm saying? Come on. And here's the thing. I know we're going to get to it. Saturday night. I know you can't do everything by Twitter, but Saturday night, Garcia Porter, number one trending topic. Sean Porter was a top 10 trending topic. Danny Garcia was a top 20 topic. So it's not like people in this area don't watch boxing. And this Sunday or this Saturday, watch who's going to be the number one trending topic again. Canelo Golovkin. So it's not that the people don't want it. And that's why shows like your show, that's why the blog, Truth About It, Bullets Forever, to name a few, that's why my pot is so important, because we don't have the platform. We don't have the avenue to feed what clearly people want it. People clearly want it, but there's no one there to give it to us. So we got to find our own way. But being of the culture, that's how we always do. We will find a way. No matter what, we're going to get it.
Man, we could talk about this all day, man. Real talk. We could talk about this all day. We could talk about this all day. Like, I'm dead serious. We could talk about this all day. It's that annoying. Saturday, Showtime, Sean Porter defeated Danny Swift Garcia for the WBC welterweight title by unanimous decision. Did you agree with the judges?
There was one. I think it was, I don't remember the score, but they gave, like, 7-5 or 8-4, I think it was. And I was like, I don't know about that, right? I thought Sean won. Let me start out there. Danny tweeted, I think it was last night, maybe it was this morning, early this morning, said he rewatched the fight. And he presented a good argument, right? He was like, I landed 50% of my punches. I had the cleanest shot to the face. And I made Sean, you know, he only landed like 30%. So he was evasive. So that's the thing, right? And this is one of the reasons why boxing is crushing to me, right? Because I love the sport, but it's its own worst enemy. Anytime, especially at the 147 or when they're at 140, depending on who the fighter is, when the best guys at welterweight or junior welterweight, when they fight, they're always great fights, whether it was Keith and Danny, Keith and Sean, Kel and Errol, when it was Kel and Sean, or... You know, Lamont, another local guy, and Danny. Whenever the top guys at 147 or at 140 fight, they're always great fights, right? So it's frustrating that we don't ever get them. But back to Saturday, it was a close fight, right? So if you told me that Danny beat Sean, I wouldn't be mad at you because it was that close. It literally was that close. But for me at least, right, Sean was the aggressor, and I don't always think the aggressor should win just because he was aggressive, but in a fight that close, right? And I think part of the reason why Danny wasn't that busy is because he didn't know that Sean was going to box as well as he did, right? He was on his toes. He was moving a lot. And it caught all of us off guard because we thought it was going to be an ugly fight. Not ugly, but, you know, he's going to muck it up. it's going to be a lot of, you know, fighting on the inside. And Sean was boxing, to his credit, a lot. And I think that's why Danny wasn't as aggressive as he needed to be to get the victory. You can make the case. I think Lomachenko is the best fighter in the world, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, Wally.
Okay.
I think Lomachenko is the best fighter just because when you put him up against the best,
he
not only does he beat them, he makes them quit. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
He just punishes them. Like, what he did to Regandial, I was like, my God.
Yeah.
I ain't never seen, like, anything. Old Walters, what he did to him.
Yeah.
I think Lomachenko's number one.
Okay.
But you could make the case that Spence is the second best fighter in the world.
Yeah.
Man. And what makes it even more impressive?
Yeah.
Nobody wants it with him. Everybody says they want it with him, but when it's time to get at it, they don't ever do it.
They don't want that word.
They don't want.
They don't want that
Nobody.
Word. They don't want that word.
Keith didn't want it.
Mm-mm.
Sean don't want it.
Yeah.
Danny didn't want it.
You don't want it.
You know what I'm saying? Bud acts like he wants it, but why you resign with Top Rank, bro?
Exactly.
Like, come on, they got you on ESPN Plus.
Yeah.
They don't even treat you the way they treat Lomachenko. They put you on the Plus channel,
exactly,
bro.
That's what I'm saying. Okay, so Lomachenko, this is the thing. I do think Lomachenko's the best pound for pound boxer. My guy used to be Andre Ward. Andre Ward retired, so it's not Andre Ward. So he's my guy. But it's Lomachenko. Like, I'm with you. Like, Lomachenko to me, because he's the most skilled boxer. Like, I've never, like you said, like, he makes people quit. Like, I've never really seen that.
He makes great fighters quit.
Like, Mike Tyson, when I was young, he beat you down. That's not quitting. Like, you got knocked out.
Right.
That's not quitting.
Right.
Like, he's giving you so much of an ass whooping. I can use that. He's so much of an ass whooping that, like, you quit. Like, literally beat you into submission. That is different. I've seen Roy Jones in his prime. He beat you down, but this is different, though. Like, you literally don't want to come out of the corner. Like, that's different.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking about no mas. It's that bad.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And the thing with Lomachenko doesn't have power. Like, he's a great fighter, like you said, he's skilled. So imagine what has to happen for a fighter to quit without getting, like, knocked out or knocked down. You know what I mean? Like, he's beat. And unlike Roy, like you said, Roy was fighting cops. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was literally fighting cops.
I know.
Part-time police officers.
I remember that fight,
like, too. Like, Lomachenko is beating the best. He's beating Lennard. He beat Gary Russell. He made Nicholas Walters quit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? He made Regandial quit.
Mm-hmm.
He makes champions, like elite fighters, quit.
Yes.
He's crazy.
It's domination. He is he to me is like, he's the best. Like, in terms of now, he's the best because he's the most. I mean, if you want to build a boxer, okay, take away power, right? Because we're talking about the sweet science.
Right.
And, you know, everybody, if you love Floyd, you got to love a guy like Lomachenko, right? Footwork is amazing. Like, his footwork's amazing. Hand speed.
I haven't seen anybody with the footwork.
Like, you know what I mean? You haven't.
Right.
Like, hand speed. You know what I mean? How he gets out of breaks when he's ready. You know, it's just amazing how he gets out. He's a phenomenal boxer. Though, I will say this, though. Usually, what scares me about boxers, you know, once they get knocked down for the first time, I'm always wanting to see how they react their next fight. Because he did go down his last fight. I am interested to know, like, is that like a kryptonite? Is that people now look at him and like, you know what? You're human. You can be knocked down. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. But the thing is, Lennard's knocked him down, and then what happened? Once Lomachenko got up, he punished him. You know what I mean? but to go full circle what we were talking about, but with Mikey, right?
Yeah.
I would love for Mikey to go down, or maybe it's just a catch weight, right?
Yeah.
To fight Lomachenko. That fight right there is a legit, okay, who's going to win? We've got two of the best, and that's a legit toss-up. Mikey moving up to Spence, we all know what's going to happen.
Yeah,
it's just a matter of how bad is it going to be for Mike.
I do think Mikey could beat Lomachenko, though. I do think he would beat him. I feel like he'll beat him. I feel like he will. I don't know why I feel that way. I just feel like Mikey would beat Lomachenko. And that doesn't mean that Mikey's better, but I think he could beat Lomachenko.
I think, depending on where they fall, like if it's catch weight, I think Mikey with that power,
mm-hmm.
And again, like, so I want to make sure everybody listen who's not necessarily as big of a boxing fan as you and I are, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lomachenko, it's not that Lomachenko doesn't have anything on his punches, right?
Yeah.
He's solid there, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's just not spectacular.
Exactly.
And when we talk about Mikey or Spence with their power, it's not that Spence or Mikey are just like these haymaking punchers, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're skilled punchers, right? So these guys can absolutely box, but on top of that, they've got these they got knockout power.
Mm-hmm.
I think Mikey. I don't know if I would say Mikey. I don't know if I would say he would be the favorite if I would put money on Mikey versus Lomachenko, but I think it's a toss-up.
Yeah.
Because they present two totally different styles.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're both elite at what they do. You know what I mean? And so if it's at a catch weight, that's going to be tough on Lomachenko, man, because we don't know what Lomachenko can do with a fighter who has that type of power and that type of part. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But at the same time, we all thought Walters was a monster. You know, we thought the Axeman was, you know, and then he quit.
Yeah.
So who knows?
He's that dude. I mean, he is. I mean, when you watch him, and you can see why they quit, though. Like, it's funny to say that, though, to be honest with you. If you watch the fights that he's in, you know that,
you got nothing for him.
Yeah, exactly. And you have no counter. You have nothing at all.
You can't touch him.
You can't touch
him.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And he's like...
Go. Yeah, and the thing is, it's not like you said, it's not the power.
Yeah, it's not the power.
So that makes it even worse, to me at least, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's like mentally knowing I can't beat him, so I'm just going to quit. Like, when you watch these guys versus Lomachenko, you can see it in real time. That's why I give Linares all the credit in the world, because he was going at it, right?
Yeah, it wasn't
But scary. All the guys before him, you saw it. Like, again, the Regadiel fight, I always go back to that, because I thought Regadiel, I thought that was going, we saw what he did to Donaire.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and Bob Arum.
Yeah.
So a lot of us were thinking, like, okay, Bob Arum is going to protect this guy because, you know, Regadiel ruined Nonito Donaire, right?
Mm-hmm.
To put him out, right? And then you're seeing Regadiel literally, mentally, round after round, just like, you know what?
Yeah.
I can't do it. So he starts headbutting. He starts punching low. And you see them do the math in their head, like, I can't beat him, so I'm just going to quit.
Yeah.
Without being hurt. And that's, like, absurd. That's crazy to me.
It's just, you know, he's just that good. It's just, it is what it is. Like, he's really that good. He's that skilled. And it's funny, you know, because I had an argument with one of my friends. He was like, he can't be that good, Wally, because he only has, like, this many professional fights. I like, dude, do you see his amateur fights, though? Do you see his amateur record?
That's what I'm saying.
Like, you don't go for that. Like, obviously, you're looking at it like, you're not looking at it as a guy who doesn't really think about the whole scope of boxing. You're just thinking about, oh, a record is a record. Look at his amateur record. Like, his amateur record is freaking amazing.
Amazing.
You know what I mean? So basically,
amazing.
Yeah, he went from fighting. He did a couple of fights. We did a couple of fights. And when he was so good that he had title fights. He had real title fights because he's that good.
Yeah.
You know what
and
I mean?
And then, honestly, I mean, you look at his loss. You can make a case that Toledo didn't beat him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, you know, he's low blow on him to death. You know what I mean? Like, you can make the case that Lomachenko's undefeated, and that's on top of his amateur career. I mean, the guy is, you know, I mean, come on. There's nothing else to be said about Lomachenko.
I'm with you, bro. I'm so with you. You're listening to Urban Sports Scene right now. We have Armand Lee from the Quarterly Report podcast. So, I want to talk about the Triple G fight. Triple G, Canelo Alvarez. That's coming up Saturday. Give me your prediction for that fight.
Man, let me tell you something, right? I can't stand, you know, you talking about Andre Ward was your favorite fighter. Yeah. I love Dre, right? I love Dre.
Dre's
so
my dude. Man.
I can't stand Abel Sanchez because I feel like he and the rest of the guys at K2 robbed us of Andre Golovkin. That fight should have happened.
Man,
that fight, I don't care what anybody says.
Crap,
and Golovkin, his fans are crazy, man. Don't talk about Golovkin on social media because these families will come out of Kazakhstan and flood your mentions. I have learned that the hard way. But I say all of that to say this. Even though I can't stand Abel Sanchez, I hope Golovkin beats the dog breaks off of Canelo. Now, I can't, man, and I'm going to ask you this question, Wally. I think that Golovkin wins, and I'm biased.
Yeah.
I'm biased.
Okay.
I think Golovkin wins, and I think he puts him down. I'm calling a knockout probably like 7.
Okay.
But I'm going to ask you this, Wally.
Ask away.
Has any elite top athlete done more to hurt their brand than Canelo has done in 2008? Because
that's the point.
He's like you look at Canelo now, and you're like, bro, you were the guy. You were the one carrying boxing in this sport. And now you're like loathed because of your quote unquote tainted meat.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, chicken. Like, get out of here, bro. Like, I'm asking my question to you. Has any great athlete done more harm to their brand in this year than Canelo?
Now LeBron with LA, that kind of helped his brand.
Let's
see, football. You know what?
That's what I'm saying.
I think you're right. I think this year you're right. Because I can't think of football, basketball, yeah, baseball. No, because Bryce Harper still kind of left. Yeah, I'm going to say Canelo. Yeah, I'm going to say worldwide is Canelo because Bryce, that's local. Yeah, Canelo. I would say Canelo.
Yeah,
definitely.
And it's crazy because he's the cash cow of the sport.
Yeah.
Or at least.
He was.
Like, depending hands on how down, you want to break down Anthony Joshua.
No, hands. Oh, yeah, that's true. That's a good one. That's a good one because Anthony Joshua makes. But Canelo was pretty big when he comes to the States, too. I mean, well, he fights in the States. So Canelo's bigger. I think I would go Canelo. I would go Canelo bigger because Canelo at that time was the draw, and he was a draw young.
Right.
You know what I mean? He was a draw young, which means a lot. You know what I mean? And Mayweather picked him out because he was a super draw.
He was a draw. He was the heir apparent, right? From De La Hoya to Floyd to Canelo, and then he ruined that. You know what I mean? And come Saturday, I like I said, I don't even like Abel Sanchez, but I like Golovkin. I want to make sure people know that. Although I'm critical of him not fighting Andre, I don't think Golovkin was ducking him. I think that his camp knew what time it was. Right?
Exactly. They know.
Yeah, they knew what it was. I mean, hell, look at Kovalev, right? He ain't been the same thing.
Exposed. War, right. Dre exposed.
But I think Golovkin, because now it seems like there's true animosity between the two, right?
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
and Golovkin knows that he probably doesn't have much left.
Mm-hmm.
Many more fights left, right? Yeah, so I think he's going to show the world what happened last year was a fluke, and I'm interested in seeing because we've seen the pictures from Canelo's camp. His body doesn't look the same as it does that did last year. You know what I mean?
I know.
I'll leave that to lead that y'all to speculate. You know what I mean? But I think Golovkin's got. I think he's got bad intentions for Canelo on Saturday.
See, I think Canelo gets Triple G. I actually like Canelo. I do like Canelo. I do like Canelo. I like Canelo. I'm just interested to know how he's going to look, you know, because like you said, it was tainted, right? The sample was tainted
right.
And whatnot. So I'm interested to see what he's going to do. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, obviously, if he doesn't look good. I mean, there's a lot that he has going on in his life. I don't know if he may not be mentally focused for this fight, to be honest with you, just, you know, because there was a lot of talk that this fight was going to be postponed anywhere. So I want to go with, I just feel like, or this is my thing about Triple G. I feel like, depending on the competition, right? Triple G can be exposed by boxers. But Canelo could be exposed by boxers,
easy.
Too. You see that, too. Because, you know what I mean?
Right.
You saw that, too, with Canelo, with, you know, Floyd. Floyd kind of exposed him, too. But at the same time, I think in terms of boxing skill between the two, I think Canelo can get him. And I think Triple G doesn't hurt. Like, his punches don't really hurt Canelo. I didn't feel like they hurt him enough last week. Again, I wasn't mad at that decision either. I thought, you know, Triple G, to be real with you, I did gain more respect for Triple G after that fight. Because I was like, oh, he can box a little bit. Like, I thought he could box a little bit. But I do think it'll be a close fight. I think it'll be a very competitive fight. If it was a knockout, I think it'll be Canelo. If it goes the distance, I think Triple G wins. I think if it was a decision, Triple G wins, though. But I think if a knockout, it's Canelo.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you 100%. It goes back to what we were talking about earlier. When people say, oh, well, this fight was robbed.
That
first for Canelo-Golovkin fight was absent. Again, we get caught up. The one card from the lady from Jersey was crazy, right?
Crazy, so,
she the way she scored that fight was absolutely insane.
Yeah.
But if you wanted to tell me that fight was a draw, I believe you, right? Because I think easily Canelo won the first two rounds, and I think he won the last three.
Yeah.
So you mean to tell me in the seven in the middle, Canelo didn't get one?
One?
That's crazy to me, right?
Exactly.
I absolutely think that was a draw. Mm-hmm. But I will say this. I was impressed with Canelo's chin because Golovkin was hitting Canelo with all types of shots. And to be fair, Canelo was hitting Golovkin with all types of shots, too.
And he took him.
So a lot of it is, you know, Golovkin's what, 38 now?
Mm-hmm.
37, 38? So he's up there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you got to see, like, when you look at his more recent fights, he doesn't look the same fighter, and a lot of that is because he's fighting a higher caliber of fighter, but also some of it is his age, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so we'll see, but I will say this, the winner of this fight better fight Charlo, because that boy Charlo is on some other stuff right now, boy, like that. Again, that middleweight division is tough.
It's
tough up there, man, and I can't wait. I can't wait to see.
I mean, I'm so with you. So when I look at, like, Triple G, you know who he reminds me of? Because, I mean, and we're about to close the show out. But you know who he reminds me of? He kind of reminds me of Sergio Martinez, like how he got older, like Sergio. And I feel like, you know, and I feel like he's almost on the cusp, right, of just kind of being done in a way.
Right.
Like, I feel like he's that close because of where his age is at. I could be wrong. You know what I mean? But it's not like an aging boxer like, say, Mayweather or even a Pacquiao. Well, Pacquiao's kind of going a decline, but not even as bad as Pacquiao, to be honest with you. But when you look at Triple G, I'm like, when I look at him, I'm like, I don't see that. I don't get that aura anymore. You know what I mean? Like, when he fights a bum, obviously, you know, he's going to knock him out. But when he fights somebody, you know, like, you know how it used to be, he was like the Mike Tyson of his weight class. Like, he knocked people else, like, so we're so enamored with him. You know what I mean? And then now it's like, when you look at him, you're like, okay, when you up on your competition, you're like, he's okay.
Right. You know, I mean, it goes back to what we were talking with Kel, right? Mm-hmm. Kel moved up to weight classes.
Yeah.
And although Triple G broke his ass out, Kel was hurting him. Yes. And then it goes right to Danny Jacobs, and a lot of people think Danny won that fight,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. I kind of thought so, too.
and then you go right to Canelo. So, again, the question needs to be asked. Is it because he's fighting these upper echelon fighters now?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, shout out to Dominic Wade. I'm in Largo. You know, shout out to him. You know what I'm saying? But we're not fighting them anymore. You know what I'm saying? You're fighting top-tier talent.
Mm-hmm.
So is it because the competition is raised, or is it because you're also getting older?
Yeah.
You know, look, if he is 2-1 Canelo, and Canelo has a lot to prove, I don't know, even if Golovkin were to lose, right? Yeah. Canelo is in a position where this fight means more to him than it does for Golovkin, right? Because Canelo's legacy is on the line. People now are questioning how good he is because of, was he cheating? You know what I mean? So he needs Saturday. He needs Saturday. But after that, you got a lion coming at you. You got Charlo just waiting
for whomever. Hungry. Charlo hungry.
You know?
Charlo
and hungry. I don't know if Golovkin wants that work. And Golovkin, because, you know, this is how our conversation started, talking about Triple G.
Yeah.
He made sure he didn't fight Andre Ward, right?
Yeah.
He made sure he didn't fight Arizlani Lara.
Yeah.
Okay? We get why he fought Canelo, because that's a payday.
It's a payday. Yeah. It's understandable.
I don't know if he fights Charlo. You know what I'm saying? Because the money's not going to be Canelo-wise, but Charlo presents a completely different problem than Canelo does. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm interested in seeing not just what happened Saturday, but the ramifications for whomever wins, because there's so many storylines floating around both Golovkin and Canelo.
I'm going to tell you what's going to probably happen, depending on how the fight goes. If the fight is competitive, you're going to get part three.
Mm-hmm.
You're not.
Yeah.
He's not going to fight Charlo. He's going to go Canelo again.
Yeah. He's going to fight Charlo.
He's not going to fight Charlo. He's going to fight Canelo. He's going to fight Canelo again. If he beats Canelo in a close fight, he's going to fight Canelo again. He's not going to do that. He's not going to do that. One, the money ain't right. One, the money ain't going to be right. And two, he don't want to lose. Like, the money's got to be right with the fear of losing. You know what I mean? Like,
For that risk.
Yeah.
For that, because not only could you lose the fight, Charlo could hurt.
Could hurt him.
You know what I mean?
He could hurt the image of Golovkin. He could
the whole brand.
He can assassinate the whole brand. To be honest with you, he can do that. He's that good. He can do that. So
and he's that hungry.
He's
that good, and he's that hungry.
Yeah, young lion, man. You got to be careful with young lions.
The boys ain't playing.
Just like, you know, when Crawford knew that. Crawford knows that beating a Manny Pacquiao would just do great things for his career.
Right.
Period.
Manny didn't want that smoke.
And I love Manny. Manny, my dude. I love Manny, but Manny don't want that smoke. You know what
and
I mean?
That was a smart business decision because Bud would have hurt Manny.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes. So. It's the truth. It is what it is. Like, you just got to know, like, Manny's now, you know, even Lomachenko. Like, nah, I don't think you want that smoke either, Manny.
He don't want Lomachenko either. He don't want Lomachenko.
You may think it's cool to be like, okay, he's doing the same thing I'm doing. You know, he's just a younger version of me. All right, man, look, you old.
And that's the thing, man, because, like, we get on boxing, and as someone who loves sport like I do, it's frustrating from a fan's perspective,
because
you and I and anybody who's listening and who loves boxing, we all can sit down and be like, okay, this guy needs to fight this guy, boom, 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 and we can set out the next 2 years of fight, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when you are, like, every time you step in the ring, you're not only putting your record on the line, you are literally putting your life and limb on the line, you know? So this is the math that these guys have to do, right? Like, Golovkin will get in the ring with Canelo because even if he does get hurt, the payday more than makes up for it, right? This was the payday. That's That's to me why he didn't fight Andre, mm-hmm. because he knew he would have lost and it wouldn't have generated money, you know? Charlo doesn't present the money that Ward would have presented.
No.
And Charlo is throwing punches that will hurt, like, or trying to aim to hurt your body for years.
Mm-hmm.
Something that Andre doesn't present. You know, something that Canelo's a hell of a puncher. He doesn't have Charlo power.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. I think if Golovkin wins, whomever wins this fight, depending on what the pay is,
it's
going to be a third one. I think there's going to be a third one.
Yeah,
and I don't know. I think Golovkin, if he wins this one and he wins the third one, he retires.
Yeah, exactly.
He knows who's on his. He knows who's on his neck.
Yeah,
and he don't want that problem with that lion. Boy.
No, I agree. And that's the thing. Like whoever, for Triple G, if Triple G wins both fights, right? To be real with you, if he wins both fights, he's going to make a lot of money off those fights. He's not. He'll retire.
Right.
He'll be good. He'll be good to go. There's no need to fight. There's no need to damage your image. Why?
Yeah, he's pushing 40.
Yeah, he's pushing 40. Like do the Mayweather thing. Pick your opponents and be chill and be cool with it. Pick your opponents.
Right.
And then know what's a good fight for you and then be good with it. You know what I mean? There's nothing wrong with that. Like it's a brand. Like I've understood.
Yeah.
Like I'm like you. Like as a boxing fan, you want the guys. You want the best to fight the best. But two, at the same, on the flip side, you got to understand on the business side and the business side of things. Like, you're a brand, especially when you're as big as, like, Mayweather. Now, Triple G's now become pay-per-view because of the Canelo fight, but he wasn't really pay-per-view at the time. But, you know, Canelo's a brand. Like, you got to, like, protect your brand. And, like, I'm never mad. Like, I'm not mad at somebody trying to protect their brand now because I understand the business. Is it frustrating? Hell yeah, it's frustrating. It's not like watching boxing in the 90s when we used to, when the best fought each other. They didn't care.
Just got in there.
Got in. But now, you know, it's different. It's just different.
There's too much money on the table. Like, too much money is on the line.
Mm-hmm. But, man, I appreciate you being on. Before I let you go, man, let the folks know about the Quarterly Report podcast again.
Yeah, man, each and every Thursday, the Quarterly Report podcast, man, it's a podcast unlike any other sports podcast you've heard. I promise you, check it out, man. We got humor. We've got sports topics. We got really dope topics that'll make you think, man. But we break down the NBA, boxing, football, and everything else in between. So if you like what you heard now, you get a little bit more each and every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, the whole nine. The Quarterly Report Podcast. Also, follow me on Twitter. I'm at Quarterly Show. That's Q-U-A-R-T-E-R-L-E-E Show. And Wally, thanks for having me on, bro. I really appreciate it. And I got to have you on my show coming up soon, man.
Anytime. And you know what? This has been one of the more entertaining shows I've had in a long time. I won't even lie. I had the longest conversation I had on the podcast.
Yo, this show is dope.
I'm not going to lie. This is amazing, man. I appreciate you, man. So yeah, definitely. I would love to be on your show. I would love to. Just let me know.
Yeah, man. We like the end of the 2018 for boxing is huge, man. So we're going to have you on when the winter season is about to start.
Sounds
and when boxing season is the next big time fight.
I'm with it, man. Thanks again for being on, man. I appreciate you.
Hey, man. No problem. Thanks for having me.
All right. Again, man, that is Armand Lee from the Quarterly Report podcast. Great dude. I understand, I won't lie to you. That was one of the best shows, period. After the break, we're going to talk about Game 3, must win, up in George Mason University. That's where their home game is at. The Mystics need it. They're down 2-0 to the Seattle Storm. Will they pull it out? We'll discuss this after break. You listen to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces. You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with me, Wally. Will T and Ray are out. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and Google Play. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. All right, Sunday in game two of the WNBA Finals, the Mystics fell to the Seattle Storm 73-75. They are now down 2-0 in the series. In a Game 5 series, no team has ever come back from a 2-0 deficit in the WNBA Finals. Elena Delladon in Game 2 had 17 points, making hook shots and driving to the basket with Seattle up 74-73 with 16 seconds on the clock. But guard Christy Tolliver, who over dribbles, lost the ball driving baseline, which led to a tie-up jump ball. Then after the Mystics lost the jump ball, they didn't foul immediately, which was crazy. Like, again, that's coaching. Like, you have to foul off the bat once something like that happens. To me, Christy Tolliver forced that situation anyway. She forced it because at that point in time, you have to give your best player the basketball, which is Deladon. Deladon in that game, I believe, had 17 points. Like, down the clutch, down the stretch, in the clutch, you go to your best player. You can't ignore your best player. Now, Tolliver is an individual that tends to, like, force up shots, and we've seen it before in the past. She'll force shots up. She'll throw junk up. She's still a talented person. I'm not taking that away from her. But Deladon is your best player. And in that game, in game two, the Mystics went 0 for 16 from 3. Like, that's the big reason why they're down 2-0. They've been poor in this series from the three-point line. In game one, I believe the Mystics were, 3 for 20. Was it 3 for 21? Sorry. 3 for 21 from three-point line. And in game two, they went 0 for 16. Like, that's ridiculous. That's not going to win you a WNBA championship. Deladon, Ariel Atkins, Tolliver, they got to shoot better from three. They got to shoot better from three. I mean, again, they combined together for 11 bricks in game two. 11 bricks. Like, from three. Like, these are talented shooters. They're not bad shooters. Like, you can't play that way against a good Seattle Storm team. You're playing against Breonna Stewart, who was the WNBA MVP. You got to play better. You got to bring your game. So in game three, Wednesday, tomorrow, George Mason University, Eagle Bank Arena. I'll be in attendance. Like, I'll be there to support my girls. I'm gonna give you my keys for a Mystics victory. If you're still listening to the show, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene or hit me up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page to give me your keys for a Mystics victory. Deladon has to outplay Breonna Stewart. Like, Breonna Stewart in the series is averaging 20 points per game. Like, she has to, like, this has to stop. Like, Deladon has to outplay Breonna Stewart. I've said this before in a prior show that, to me, Deladon is the best player in the WNBA. She's the best player in the WNBA. Averaging 14 points in the WNBA finals isn't cutting it. Now, I get that she's coming from injury, but she's got to step up. We talk about this in any sport. Like, you have to rely on your best players. Your best players have to come up when you need them to play. If you're the lady that's arguably one of the best players and you're being outperformed by, you know, one of your peers, a lady who's on the same level of you in terms of skill, this is when you bring up your A game. I'll give you an example. Like, in 1993 in the NBA Finals, Charles Barkley was balling against Michael Jordan, going toe-to-toe. Like, at that, you know, everyone had Michael Jordan, the best player in the NBA, but Charles Barkley was going to work, too. When you're Deladon, you got to do that. You're going against Breonna Stewart. You got to bring your A game. Like, I know you're fighting an injury. I know it. I know it's tough. But it's time. Big dogs come to play when you need them the most. And you a big dog. I believe in Deladon. So she needs to come up. She needs to outplay Breonna Stewart in game three for this Mystics team to push this to a game four. If I'm the Mystics coach, you gotta feature Deladon more. Like, you got to. Like, hey, I don't care if she gotta take more shots. Like, she has a gun. You gotta force her the ball. Tolliver has to play more under control. Like, this over dribbling thing has to stop. You have to realize who your go to player is, which is Deladon. Go to her, feed her. You know what I mean. Also, Ariel Atkins has to shoot from the three. She has to shoot better from three. I watched the closeout game against the Atlanta Dream, and she played amazing in game five. She played amazing in game five. She was a great shooter, good from the free throw line, made big shots. She can knock down three balls. She needs to do that in game three. Like, she needs to be able to shoot good from the perimeter and knock down the three ball. And finally, this is a big one. This is a big one. I mentioned it before. The three-point shot, they have to make threes in game three. Game three. They got to make threes. They have to make threes. 3 for 21 from game one isn't cutting it. 0 for 16 game two isn't cutting it. You lost by two in game two. And if you had made one three, series would be 1-1 going home to Virginia, have an opportunity to go up 2-1. So you have to shoot from the three. You have to shoot better from the three. Role players have to step up. You got to step up. They got to do better. These bricks in a championship game isn't cutting it. Like, I don't want to see bricks in a championship game. When I'm in attendance, I want to see the three ball going down. I want to see the release rotation splash. I want to see the hole in the follow through. I want to see that three ball going in. All right. And I expect the Mystics, when I'm in the building, to show out. All right. I expect the Mystics to show out. All right. Together, DC, let's do this. All right. It's time to wrap this show up. It's been a pleasure, man. I had some great guests. Having man Armand Lee, Football Garbage Time, Hakun Wan, Ryan Winfield. My man Lex came and talked skins. It's a great show. I appreciate everybody for listening. Make sure you tune in next week. All right. Tune in next week. Hopefully it's a Redskins victory. All right. You've been listening to the Urban Sports Thing for ages. You dig? Deuces. Hey, Mecca, lead us out, big homie. Swag, pledge allegiance to the swag, man.